Be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Guys, we could sum up our study tonight with this. People had a heart to pray, a mind to work, and an eye to watch. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us here on In Christ Radio as we continue our journey through Nehemiah and the Hope Restored series. We've watched God rise up leaders, restore hope, and unite his people, and begin rebuilding what had been broken. But whenever God is building something, opposition is never far behind. Today, we come to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, with a message titled, Overcoming External Opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah launch a campaign of ridicule, hoping to stop the work before it can be completed. When mockery doesn't work, they threaten with violence. Their goal is simple. Create enough fear that God's people stop building. But Nehemiah's response is timeless. He doesn't panic. He doesn't retaliate. He prays. He trusts God, and he stations guards while the people continue to work. They understood something every believer needs to remember. Opposition is often confirmation that the work matters. The enemy attacks what God is building, but God's people overcome by remaining steadfast in prayer, wisdom, and obedience. Our greatest victories are often won by not eliminating opposition, but by refusing to let opposition stop our obedience. Today we can ask, what external opposition has been discouraging you? And will you allow it to define your future? Or will you trust God and keep building? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 with today's lesson, Overcoming External Opposition.
Oftentimes, you will see enemies join forces to stop the work of God in your life and in my life. You go, whoa, who's the Amorite and who's the, you can just see those forces all of a sudden. My heart in going through the book of Nehemiah, guys, is really simple. My prayer is that God would first and foremost build the foundation of our lives. The winds of spiritual warfare are coming. The closer we get to the return of Jesus, the harder I think it's going to be a believer. And you don't want to be a fair-weathered believer. You don't want to be tossed to and fro. You want your foundation in the Word of God. You want to be taught the Word of God. You need the Word of God. You need to be able to stand upon what God's Word says. You need to memorize the Word of God to understand what David told us. David said, Thy word I've hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, God. So you need to memorize. You go, I can't memorize anything. Yes, we can. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to memorize God's word. We can do anything we set our mind to, but this is for the reason is that when the enemy comes, you're able to stand and go, this is what God's word says. I am more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. When you're feeling alone, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God, this is a promise to me. And so we need to build the foundation. My heart is that we would be able to build our lives on what he wants in his word. That we would be a church that would take the gospel to our city and to lovingly raise them up and bring them back to Christ or to bring them into the fold. This is what we want. My prayer is that God would work a miracle and restore relationships. Relationships that have been busted. My prayer is that God would bring our prodigals back, that he would heal and mend friendships that have been broken, that the enemy has come in and broke. My prayer is that God would restore marriages that have been battered by the enemy. That's our prayer. Listen, to the married people here, there's no such thing as cruise control. It's, yeah, we're good. We've been married, whether you've been married 6 months or 65 years. You've got to work at it and you've got to protect it. We've got to protect our marriages. The enemy wants to come in and batter that. He wants to trip us up. You don't think he's going after you? You don't think he's coming after me? Of course he is. My prayer My prayer is that God would just restore those things. I bet every one of us in this room can think about somebody whose marriage is on the rocks and we're just going, man, please, Lord, don't take that one. We have friends that you're not sure if they're going to make it, and we're going, God, please. Some of us might have family members that they're not. And one of the things that we can note in our study tonight is that our enemies will become friends to hinder the work of God in our lives. Our enemies will become friends. Sometimes the litmus test to see if we're walking in the right direction with God is determined by noticing who's against it. That's the litmus test, right? Hey, guess what? I got saved. Really? What happened? I was invited to church and man, the tears came. I don't know what it was. Arturo was telling me, he's like, I don't know. And I was like, it's the Holy Spirit, man. And he's like, yeah, and that's what happens when we get saved. We don't know. And all of a sudden you think people who are going to come alongside and encourage you are not encouraging you. You did what? What kind of church is this anyway? What do they teach? And they go all about that. And I said, instead of rejoicing, go, hey, man, you did what? I got saved, man. I gave my heart to Jesus and I'm following him and I'm going to love my wife. And I'm going to serve my wife, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to be a godly man. We can see that. Can we agree that we don't want to be a Sanballat in here tonight? We want to be encouraging, not negative, not mocking people. Every one of us is in a different walk, at a different pace with their walks with God. Every one of us. And so we go, hey, come on, let me help you up. How you doing? When we ask somebody, how you doing? How are you? How's it going? It's going great, Pastor Ben. Wonderful. Amen. Our job is to help and encourage a sister. Raina, how are you doing? And remember, when we ask people how we're doing, it's like, man, my job is to encourage and love and lift up arms and hug. That's what we should be doing. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the body of Christ crosses their arms and says, well, if you would just read the Bible like I did, you wouldn't be going through this mess. Well, if you would just be praying as much as I pray. As we make our way, church, through the study this evening, let's note some of the different tactics that the enemy uses against us. Ready? First one. They want to discourage by mocking. They want to discourage by mocking. Verse 2. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, notice what he's saying, and he's probably megaphone loud. What are these feeble Jews doing? Isn't that the question? What are you doing? Will they fortify themselves? Notice the question. Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Guys, if the enemy wants to discourage you, they'll do it through mocking. They'll do it through mocking. When you and I decide to make a change for the better, the enemy is going to start whispering in your ear, this is never going to happen. You're always going to be this way. You're never going to have the victory, or this will never work. I had a precious brother go through a really, really, really rough time. And his confession to me, instead of turning to God, he said, Pastor Ben, I turned to alcohol. And you've heard it said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And so the enemy got a hold of him. Circumstances we all go through, different things in life. And the enemy comes in and he starts going, you know what? See, I knew it. You call yourself a Christian. Look at you. There you are drinking. There you are. You're starting all over again. I knew you couldn't handle. And that's exactly, he wants to zoom in right into that area that we struggle with. You're never going to make it. You're not really a Christian. You prayed a prayer, but it didn't mean anything. You'll never have victory like he's talking about. And sometimes the enemy uses other voices. Like if you want to get into the word more, so you're like, man, I got to get in. What you do is you bring your Bible to work and you want to read it at lunch and you have coworkers that are mocking you. What's the deal with that? Oh, you're reading your Bible now? We've all gone through that. I'll never forget when I got saved. The big Jesus movement, you guys remember the Jesus movement was going on. People were getting saved. And man, my friend invited me. He showed this film, and man, it was Lazarus and the rich man. I got saved. I went forward. And my brother, my loving brother, looked at me and he goes, we were sitting on the couch and he goes, so are you saved? And you know, he did it mockingly, like, are you saved? And I remember, and I was like, I'm just a kid, right? He's my older brother. And I was like, no, right? Because I didn't want to be mocked and I didn't want to be ridiculed. And so I completely said no, because, and that's always bothered me, because that's exactly the voices. Oh, are you saved? And of course, now what do we say? Absolutely, right? Are you saved? Blood bought, sanctified, amen, Holy Spirit filled. Of course. Do you need to be saved?
Yeah.
But when we're right here, when we're vulnerable, this is when the enemy attacks. So what do you do when that type of opposition comes against you? What do, church? Our temptation is to lash out, right? We want to lash out. We want to fight back with words. Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. Well, look at you. We want to shout back, or we actually want to yell louder, because you know that Sanballat and Tobiah and these guys were yelling at them over the wall, you know, just trying to humiliate them. And we want to yell back, and we be like, you don't know anything. Go back to Samaria. We can say some things about, and right away. But I think of what Chuck Swindoll once said. He said, quote, the recent argument in your home lasted as long as it did because you kept yelling. Arguments are never a one-way street. They run in twos. They come in packs. If you want to stop an argument, close your mouth. End quote. That's what Chuck Swindoll said. He says, hey, listen. What happens when the enemy yells, you're a loser, you'll never make it, you're gonna, you know, I go, amen. I agree with him, because then I can fall at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, he's right, and I need you. And thank you for dying so that I can be set free. I'm not going to fight the enemy. I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'll show him. I just point to the cross and say, that's why Jesus died, man. That's why Jesus died. I need him every second, every moment. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Proverbs 15 and 28 says this. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. That's a great verse. Why? Next time you find yourself heated up and getting in the flesh in a bit, you know, it's like, okay, the righteous studies how. Okay, let me think. And it's always important to think before we speak. Can I get an amen? Always important. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to reverse what I just said. You know, reverse. Okay. What did you say? Never mind. But it's already out there. Isn't it out there? It's already out there. And you're like, oh. And some of the things we say, you can see the hurt on your wife's face as soon as it comes out. Oh, idiot, man. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But I think what the writer of Proverbs is telling us is, guys, the heart of the righteous, what do? They study how to answer. Okay, how would I answer this? But the mouth of the wicked just pours forth evil, I'll tell you. So what does Nehemiah do? He doesn't yell back. He doesn't get angry. You go, well, Ben, what does Nehemiah do when he and his friends are being mocked? You ready? He prays. You go, Ben, that's Captain Obvious. Amen. Notice his prayer. Great prayer. Verse 4, hear, O God. For we are you gotta love this prayer. Listen, guys, hear, O God, listen up, Lord, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Verse 5, do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. And listen, Nehemiah has a heart for people, but right here, he's not taking it. You go, why? Listen. Look how he prays. He doesn't answer his critic. He prays. He prays. He doesn't even talk to them. Guess who he talks to? God. He talks to God. But this is a radical prayer. You go, why? He prays that God would not forgive them. Lord, don't forgive them. Some of us would go, well, Ben, you said Nehemiah had a heart of compassion. This is harsh. This is a harsh prayer. This is vindictive. No. Listen, the fact that God was being challenged explains the harsh tone of Nehemiah's prayer. Let me go back. Look at it, guys. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it right here at the end. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked who? It says you. Not me. They haven't provoked the Jews. Nehemiah's like going, Lord, look what they're doing to you. Look what they're saying about you. Oh, come on, somebody. This is good. This is good. When anybody talks trash about you, essentially they're talking trash about God. Because you were created in the Imago Dei. You were created in his image. And last I checked, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So, well, you know what? You know what I heard? I can't believe. You know what? Father filtered. It's going through God first. Hey, you're talking about God, man. You're talking about God. This is exactly why Nehemiah's like, man, I don't know as a pastor I would ever pray this, but he's fired up for the Lord, is he not? His prayer is really simple. What's the result? What's the result? Well, notice his prayer again. Don't cover their iniquity, Lord. Don't cover. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders. It's God's work. Listen, the work in your life is a God work, not a man's work. God's going to do great, great things. You have to just let him. Okay, Lord. You go, Ben, what's the result of the prayer? Verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half his height. Here's why. For the people had a mind to work. This is beautiful, guys. Half of the wall is up because the people had a mind to work. The result of the prayer is really simple. Underline this. The people had a mind to work. Why? What could have happened? They could have fought. We could have argued. Oh, you're this and this, Sanballat. Tobiah, you need to go jump off the lake, you loser. We could have fought back. No, you know what Nehemiah goes? He goes, I'm not even going to entertain this. I'm going to God. And they go to God. And what happens is everybody had the same mindset, guys. They had the same mindset. We need to be of the same mind. We need to be of the same mind. Now, from time to time, we get discouraged because of the lack of workers or maybe the resources. But I think we need to follow Nehemiah's example and pray. And pray. Think about this, guys. Think about this. Think about what God wants to do with our little church. We're not impacting Lubbock like we need to. And it's not one person. It's got to be all of us who pick up the mantle and say, man, you go, well, how do we do that? Well, first, we have a mind to work. God, what do you want us to do? The second thing is going, okay, listen, we want to have our place here in Lubbock. We want to reach people in Lubbock. What does God want to do with that? Are we praying for a new building? Are we praying that God would, no, Lord, if it's your will, you know, if it's, you know, if you find it in your heart, like if you're not busy one Sunday afternoon, Lord, maybe you could show. We need to pray that God would impact. Why? Because we're about people. We're here to love and serve people. Why wouldn't God want to bless that? We're his people. But he knocks on our heart. He says, one person can't do it alone. He says, we're a church. We're a church. And we need to have a mind to work. We need to bind hearts together and say, this is what we're going to do. And the enemy wants to get us all upset and causing all this stuff and fighting with each other. And how come? I don't believe it. And it's going, man, people are dying and going to hell. Let's get a mind to work. What can I do, Pastor? What can I do? What are we going to do? We're going to have an outreach. Okay, let's see what God will do. We need people to pray with people. We need to be there and go, okay, man, are you okay? How can I help you? Here's a Bible. We want to get a Bible in their hands. You go, Ben, you're just saying that because you want this church to be full. Of course I do. We're here to minister to people. We want to see God do a great work. This is exactly what we need to do. Follow Nehemiah's example. When we have our first Sunday prayer, be here. Pray with us. It's the heart. We've changed times to try to accommodate. Be here. Prayer is where it needs to be. I'm exhorting us to pray. Come on Thursday, pray. Don't pray our will. Don't pray. Pray, God. Bring your loved one's request. God, save my uncle. Save my cousin. Save my coworker. God, save them, Lord. Save that marriage, Lord. We're interceding. That's what Nehemiah's teaching us. As we come to a close, guys, I want to show you something. Nehemiah didn't just pray, but verse 9 reveals to us that he set a watch. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set watch against them night and day. So not only is he praying, but this is another key element in dealing with the outside opposition. You go, what's that? Ready? Jot this down. We need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So if you go home tonight and you get an argument with your spouse, you get in an argument, realize where it's coming from. The enemy wants to trip you up, shipwreck your faith. Confess quickly. Be on guard. You go, here's why. You ready? Because the enemy never takes a rest. The enemy never goes on vacation. He never takes a holiday. We need to be on guard to notice the attacks. We need to be ready. We need to watch. We need to be on guard. Why? There's wolves that are around us. Be on guard. Matthew 26 and 41 says this, watch and pray, lest you enter to temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Peter 5:8 in the Good News Bible says, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Guys, we could sum up our study tonight with this. People had a heart to pray, a mind to work, and an eye to watch. Let's break it down. First and foremost, what does this look like at Calvary Chapel Lubbock? What does this look like? Number one, we have a heart to pray. We have a heart to pray. We're prayer warriors. We're seeking God, not only corporately, but we're doing it individually. It's not about, well, I go to this church, I go to that. It's about going, man, I am praying for the body of Christ. I'm praying for his kingdom. I have a heart to pray. The second thing is a mind to work. What do we need to do? What do we need to do to get the gospel out? What do we need to do? Okay, well, I'm here. What do we need, Lord? And we have a mind to work. And last but not least, we have an eye to watch. What's going on? What's happening? Okay, what does that look like for us? You ready? We got each other's back. We got each other's back. Hey, you doing all right? Watch out. We got each other's back because I stand behind the pulpit and I say, guard your marriages. Guard your marriages. Guard your relationships. Be encouraging to people. Love people back to life. All the things that we're about is what we're talking about. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, the truth in your word. Lord, we are expecting opposition. We know the enemy is coming. The enemy wants to take us out. He wants to shipwreck our faith. He wants to attack marriages. And we stand here broken, Lord, because we don't see it. We didn't have an eye to watch. And so, God, we're asking you today, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, fill us afresh, God. Give us a heart to pray, Lord, a mind to work, and an eye to watch, God, as we seek to be like Nehemiah. Father, when the Sanballats and the Tobias come against us and the Arabs and the Ashdodites, Lord, when they come against us, Lord, we're not even going to entertain those. We're going to look to you and pray to you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you will handle Tobiah and you will handle Sanballat, and all we need to do is focus on you. And so that's our heart tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, we'll discover that not every battle comes from outside. As Pastor Ben described before, there are two types of opposition for the believer, internal and external. Fear and discouragement begin to arise from within God's own people. And we'll learn how to overcome not only external opposition, but internal discouragement as well. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.